I'd like to say that I'm glad to be here tonight. And it's a real privilege to be here. The air is immeasurable. It's been a long time since we was up in this area. And it's a real privilege to see you people here. You can be seated. I want to say again, it's a privilege to be here and talk with you. And this is, I don't know how you feel, but this is a real, real disturbing moment as to the conditions that we've got going today in the government and in world affairs and traveling around the world and preaching the gospel. Number of years, and we were well acquainted with the situations all over the world and the mind of the people as to their frame of mind. And it's a very, very sad situation at this moment everywhere. And even though the world doesn't seem to be aware of it, they're going right along with the same trend of life that they have for many years. They're continuing on reveling in the world, and it's sad to say, but even the church world has been overpowered by this thing and has gotten into it. And rather than holding up the real standards of godliness and living for Christ, they have got caught in the merit of this thing, and they've decided that, it's kind of like I had a fellow to tell me years ago down in Waco, Texas. He said, well, Brother Pike, I've decided that God is going to save us in spite of ourselves. It didn't make no difference as to what we do. He was God, and He'd just save us in spite of ourselves. And of course, if His doctrine is right, then my doctrine's wrong. I find that the Bible said, he that draws near or nigh unto God, God will draw nigh unto him. And he that resisteth God, God will resist him. I find in the tutorings of the Bible that the Bible teaches that the carnal mind is enmity with the great eternal spirit, with our heavenly Father, and that they that are carnal-minded or the carnal life that they live, that's not subject or subjected to the great spirit, and that Satan savors the things that be of the flesh and the things of the world, and that we're commanded to equip ourselves with the mind to suffer, as to self-denial and conformity to the great word of God. And in this, the Bible said, having our fruits unto holiness and the end thereof, everlasting life. And that the Bible said, without holiness no man shall see the Lord, God being the spirit of holiness and being the only eternal life there is. Jesus said, I've come that you might have that life and that you might have it more abundantly. The word meaning filled up and overflowing. It's evident that he would above all things that we prosper, that we be in health, even as our soul prospers. But at the same time that we are to maintain good works and we are to be a light throughout the world that men may see our good works and glorify Father, which is in heaven, in that faith without works is dead and works without faith is dead. So then by this, we know that somewhere somebody has misconstrued something or misunderstood something, and millions of people around the world are going after that kind of thing. It's no wonder that the Bible has said, little flock, fear not, it is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. And said, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall try and not be able. And he said, little flock, it is thy Father's good pleasure to give thee the kingdom. He said, you try to enter in. Few there be that find it, for straight is this gate. Narrow is the way. So it's, again, evident to me that just floundering around, you're not going to be able to get into the kingdom of God, or just taking everything for granted, as the world would say. And it's even far more evident to me that there's going to be a lot of people that make special efforts to get into the truth. And they're going to really try and still are not going to make it. Many shall try and not be able to enter. So then we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that we might find grace For he giveth more grace to the humble. He resisteth the proud. Haughty spirit goeth before fall, and pride before destruction. So again, in the light of all these things that we're seeing, it makes me to know that it's a sad situation around the world, and especially at this time in this great, wonderful United States. Reading over in the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation, in the 17th verse, it says here, "The great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" You know, this is right at the very beginning of the tribulation. Now, tonight, coming here as always, we only have a few minutes. When I say a few minutes, I consider it a few minutes. When you come into the knowledge of God and the revelation of Jesus Christ, and you go to expound something, or you go to try to help tutor people's minds, you find you just have a few minutes. Like when Paul came into the revelation, he preached all night long. And he had so much to say. And when he wrote the Pauline epistles, he said, "I write this that you might understand my knowledge in the mysteries of Christ." For he said, "Great is the mystery of godliness, for God is a spirit manifested in the flesh." He was sent down here. God actually come here, and Jesus being sent as the Son in a human body, God personified himself to the fullness. So he came being manifested in the Spirit. He came coming in the flesh and manifested in the Spirit, in that the body was made spirit, but he actually came as a fleshly being, putting on a human form. Inasmuch as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he partook of the same. And yet the original rendering of that word is the Greek word, "he partook, but not all." So he partook of the bones and the flesh. And God, the great Spirit, actually put on a human body for a garment and came into this world to cause that body to be reprogrammed, as an example, as we would say, him being made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, for that body to be reprogrammed from the fall of Adam back to the originality of what Adam was typical of in the beginning, being a figure of him to come. So then, becoming our sin, or being made in the form of a human being, he came down into this world. And coming into this world, he actually manifested himself, that is God the Spirit, through the veil of human flesh. And my, tonight, if we got into that just a little bit as to the revelation of the Son of God, it would take a long, long time. So tonight, we just probably hit a few little highlights here and there, and trust that we can say things that will be to where you can understand, or we can relate one to another. That is to say, Paul says, "I wished that you had the spirit of revelation," or "I want you to have the spirit of revelation. I want you to be spiritual. I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. I would like to speak unto you as the people that are spiritual." He said to him in that day, "Seeing that you're babes in Christ, I can't do that." But he said, "I would that you have the spirit of revelation, one spirit, many operations. And if you have the spirit of revelation, then I could relate to you and speak unto you as unto spiritual." And I'm sure tonight at this late season, in this time of life, that we do have people here that's got the spirit of revelation, and people that we can relate to, and others, we try to bring the milk of the word and the try to bring the meat of the word to them that are the strong, they who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. So then we see here that God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, caught up into heaven after having been preached to the Gentile people. And this makes us to know then that God is the great eternal spirit, the great invisible Father. Paul said, "The God whom I serve with my spirit and with my mind." So we know then that God is a spirit. Jesus said in John 4:24 to the woman at the well, said, "God is a spirit." And God is seeking people to worship him in spirit and in truth. So we know why that we have to be spiritual to relate to God. And we also know that when we are born again, that we're angelic beings in little houses of clay. Peter spoke as the inner man, saying, "And as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I feel that I should stir up your minds, your pure minds, For the Lord has shown me that I must shortly put off this my tabernacle. But if this tabernacle be dissolved, I have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. As we have borne the image of the earthly as to the first man Adam, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly, which is not a tabernacle, but a temple. For ye are the temple of the living God, members in particular, bone of his bone, and flesh of his flesh, whose temples ye are. And if ye defile that temple has to be destroyed. So then we know that we are angelic beings when we are born again. And we also know, and just taking my time to say a few little things here as a pre-thought, we also know that we are not in the flesh anymore. And I'm speaking to them that are born again. See, we know that we're not in the flesh. I know with the world, you know, as to the lot of the religious bodies of the world and the formalities, the ritualistics of religion, as far as they're concerned, we're still in the world, we're still in the flesh, and we do the things of the flesh, and we provide for the flesh, and we make all kinds of provisions. Where the Bible said, make no provisions to fulfill the lust thereof. See, but deny yourself, and to give yourself to God, and the Bible said to meditate in his laws day and night, casting down imagination in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ every thought. Giving our bodies a living sacrifice after having done that. The Bible said we've only rendered unto God just a reasonable service. So then we know that we're not in the flesh because we are born again. We are born again. The songwriter said, born again, free from sin. I'm happy night and day. So then we are born again. It's not just to make believe. It's not just something where we come and join the church. It's not where we pay our tithe and give and become a prominent person in our community or try to excel as to the upper echelon of life. But it is a person that has been born again, that's actually been born in the Spirit of the Spirit of God. And because of that, their body is now dead, but the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's quite different from the way the world looks at it. You know, as to them, there's a lot of self-esteem and there's a lot of self-ego, and they've got a goal to make in life. And to them, it's not that we are a wretched person at all. But Paul said, being the very best and the greatest of scholars, a man of great reputation, blameless, touching the law, And he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Evidently, there's something wrong with the flesh. Like the Bible said, corruptible flesh, all flesh has corrupted its way before God. So then we know then there's a differentiating between the inner man and the outer man, as Peter said. There is an outer man and there is an inner man. Now, this might sound a little besetting to some people. But that outer man is a beast. And that outer man has been proven to be a beast, even by scientists, of that you trust in, whereas Paul really said falsely so-called, but some of the thing God has allowed them to know. Now, that knowledge has proven in their theory that you actually are a beast. And then when you accept the fact that you are born of Adam in your first birth, the Bible said in Adam all die, and when you accept the fact that you've actually been born of Adam through the fall, you have come to be. And we do know that Adam fell from the sonship of a figure of him that was to come and fell back to the dust. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. And in eating of the tree of knowledge, in the day that thou eatest thereof, it was said, ye shall surely die. So Paul later confirmed that by saying we have within our bodies the sentence of death. So then we understand that they that come from Adam are born as a beast. And it was through the beast that Lucifer was able to go into the woman. Entering into the beast, though he was a low form of life, and Satan could never be satisfied with that low level of life because he had lived on the high plains of actually reflecting the light of God himself. And being called Lucifer, the son of the morning, as to that bright thing, he could never be satisfied on the level of a beast. But he entered into that beast, and then from the beast, he entered into the woman, because he knew that was a higher plane of living. And when he got into the woman, he still wasn't contented with that, because he knew that the woman wasn't as to the headship, and he knew that the man was a figure of him to come. So he entered into Adam. Yet Adam was not in the transgression, but going along with the wife. Then through that as through the fall, then all flesh is corrupted its way. And so then sin entered into Adam just like into Eve. And there's no good thing, Paul said, within this body. So in Adam all die, Eve being the mother of all living, then we understand that in Adam all die because it is a beastly thing. It is a cursed thing. They're under the curse, and it is the bastard child image, that out of wedlock. It wasn't the way that God wanted them to be, as making them in that Shekinah image that Adam lost in the fall, the illumination of that image in which he was made, even the Christ. Which great, wonderful Shekinah image that God restored at the coming of the Lord Jesus, saying that Jesus, as to the Christ, and this is the beginning of the creation of God. So then back to the originality of what Adam was a figure of in that that was to come. So we know today that we are born of the generation of Jesus Christ, and he was the first brother among many brethren. He was the first of them that was resurrected as to them that sleep, that had the power to raise himself from the dead. And we know that in Christ Jesus we're all made alive, though in Adam we all die. So then we know that out of person is a beast. And we know there has to be a differentiating between these two things, because Paul said, as to the Gentile overseer, having the revelation of Jesus Christ going for the bride, then he said, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. And this heavenly treasure, as to within these earthen vessels, are to be made manifest in our mortal genes. Then we know that if that is true, then Paul, with the revelation, differentiated, and when he differentiated, he decided that there was a difference between the body and the spirit. And in that there was a difference, then he said that the body had to die. The body has the sentence of death in it. I am thus imprisoned, as Paul could have said, and did in so many words, I am thus imprisoned by this body. My inner man has been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. The law and the prophets until John, since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and men pressed their way into it. Now, preaching the kingdom of God tonight, that it's not up there or down here or wherever as to out of reach, but it's nice. It's right near. All we've got to do is call on the Lord to preach the kingdom of God and the entrance into this great kingdom through the Son of God, through the name of Jesus Christ. Having been crucified with him and buried with him in baptism, we're raised again in the likeness of Jesus Christ, being bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And my, there's many things that we'd have to say here in detail to explain that, because that could fuddle the mind up a little bit. But staying with the major theme of our thought right here. So Paul differentiated that there had to be a dividing asunder of the spirit and the body. And so he picked it up like this. In the revelation, he had looked at Calvary. And when he looked at Calvary, he says, now here is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he hath made in himself twain, two. He hath made within this one self twain, or two, both Lord and Christ. And because of this, one of these have to go to Calvary. One of these has to be crucified. In this life, either your spiritual man is to the loss of your life and the moving of your candlestick has to go, or either the outer man has to die that the inner man might live. One of them has to die. And so then Jesus going to Calvary, as to the Lord part, it had to die at Calvary. It come in the form of a servant, even your image. And it went to Calvary, and we esteem him smitten of God. And so then he had to die. And he had to die because he was our atonement. He had to take away the sins by the blood as the Lamb of God. Before he did that, he lived, he walked, he talked in a human body, and he perfected the human body. He perfected the church, which was his body, and walked up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, appeared in glory with Moses and Elijah as a great, wonderful thing that glistened as the noonday and as the light. He had completed the work of the church. His body being the church, he had completed it, picked it up, and took it to glory. And that is to the headship, being the head of the church, the chief cornerstone, And when he had completed this work, he sealed the church in. He put the church in glory. He stepped back down out of glory, and he came right back to the human form of the servant, went to Calvary, and gave himself a human sacrifice that he might do away with your human being as to the wretched man that you are, dividing asunder the body from the spirit, because the Bible said the veil was rent in twain. The veil was rent in twain. And when he said that, I will rend the veil in twain, then they marveled and they said, many years we were in constructing this building. And you say, destroy this building, and you will raise it up in 3 days. Whereas the Bible said they went about to destroy Jesus. And the Bible said that they did not understand until after he resurrected from the dead. When he resurrected from the dead, then they understood that he spake of his body. And so the veil of the temple was rent in twain. You know, the Bible speaks like this. Cast your pearls before swine, and they'll turn and rend you. They'll just tear you all to pieces. And that's what they did to Jesus' body. They placed the thorns there, and they just tore his head up, in his hands, his feet, his back, plowed it like a field, and all these kind of things. And then the veil was rent so bad that it was rent in twain, because the life is to the spirit went away from the body, and the Bible said that the body without the spirit is dead. And so then today, we have the privilege by the death of Jesus Christ to be free from this body of death. And the Bible said, therefore, consider yourselves to be dead indeed by the body of the Lord Jesus to sin, and alive by the resurrection of Jesus Christ unto life. Or that is to say, if he come in a bodily form of a servant and was delivered to Calvary, made my sin that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And if God smote that body, the image, as to the beast and the fall, and if he freed my spirit from that, then my life is to my spirit, in that the Bible said the body without the spirit is dead. My spirit, my life is hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received as to the resurrection and going back. For he was buried as to one form, he was resurrected in another form. Or that is, he came in the form of a human servant, delivered for my offenses because I had offended. He went down into hell, the chambers of hell. He went down into the grave. He went and preached to the souls in prison, and then was resurrected from the dead in a new form and walked on the way to Emmaus with them. He expounded the scriptures. He opened the scriptures to them as removing the veil of the Old Testament. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures to us? By the way, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so then in this, we know that he was resurrected in another form. If he was resurrected in another form, that meant he had put one form away. As to that form of the human image that he had come in, coming to you and I, coming in the behalf of you and I, then that form was forever gone. His countenance was marred more than any man. And God gave his only begotten Son. And there it went away. And it cried out as Christ withdrew from it in my behalf, that it might suffer the separation from the Father because of sin, my sins. It cried out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so then the Christ pulled away from it. It was smitten, and we saw through that the fall of Lucifer recorded in Revelation 12. And it said there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought. There was a great war in heaven, and Lucifer was cast out. And there was found no more place in heaven for Satan. And the man-child was immediately caught up to the throne as the woman went into the wilderness. We know that being symbolic there, are showing that of the Jew church, but pointing to Calvary and pointing to the defeat of Satan, that when the bodily image of mankind was rejected, Satan having interwoven himself with that beastly part, then it meant that Satan fell from the Spirit. And God cut him off from the Spirit. And inasmuch as it is the church ages from Calvary over to the 7 years of tribulation, it is not recorded as to the natural recording that we might see it, because it is not an earthly perspective from Calvary to the 7 years of tribulation. It is the church ages. And so then it's not recorded in there, but when the 7 years comes in, then it is recorded in Revelation 12 as to what took place when Satan was cast out of heaven. Let's always remember one thing, Christian friend, and that is 500 years approximately before the Lord Jesus ever came to Calvary. The angel appeared to Daniel down in Babylon and said, 490 years is determined upon thy people to make an end, speaking of the Jews. Looking at that, 483 years went by, and the Messiah came, and he made an end of iniquity, because he came in the form of the body of iniquity. For the Bible said, in iniquity did my mother conceive me. And then that form of iniquity was smitten and taken away, making an end of iniquity. And he also fulfilled the law. For the Bible said, not one jot nor tittle of the law shall pass till all be fulfilled. He told his disciples this. He told the people, the Pharisees and the scribes, when they said, teach us to pray. Pray thy kingdom come, Father. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Knowing that he was fixing to go to Calvary and that the kingdom was coming. The law and the prophets till John, since then the kingdom. And knowing that he was fixing to fulfill the law, every jot and tittle, he said to them, not one jot and a tittle of the law shall pass till all be fulfilled. He went there, he fulfilled every jot and tittle. He then said, Father, it is finished. And the book was sealed, as you know, with the seven seals on the backside. He had finished all that God had ever gave Moses, being the chief cornerstone. And through these services, there's two or three services, we'll probably say more about this and enlarge a little bit on it. But anyway, here he is. He has fulfilled the law. So Paul, getting the revelation, said, we therefore conclude that a man is justified by the grace of God through faith without the deeds of the law. The schoolmaster being the law to bring us unto grace, now that the faith has come as to a justification, whereas God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness unto light, unto the faith which is in me, by which they are sanctified. And we're told to contend for that faith. So we know then, according to the rending of the veil, the body was dead. And today we esteem our bodies to be dead. We consider our bodies dead, but the body of Jesus Christ, all of our transgressions, delivered for our offenses and buried in a watery grave in the name, the lovely name of the Son of God. And knowing that we have been buried in his likeness of death, then we are also in the likeness of his resurrection. And it's not us living, but it's Christ living within us. As Paul said, ye are now bone of his bone and ye are flesh of his flesh. And today we should yield our members unto God as one that's alive from the dead, putting sin down, not letting it reign in our mortal body, to every thought, doing away with every thought, to bring it into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, being in the new form now as Jesus was, which meant not in the form or likeness of a human servant, but in the resurrectional form of the Master, the Son of God, who sits at the right hand of the Father. And as Paul said in his writings, it's kind of hard to understand unless it's revelated to you. But as he said in his writing, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, for I have a will to do good on the inside. He said, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. There is no good thing, he said, in the flesh. He said, and the good that I would do, I find that I don't do that. And the evil that I would not do, and that which I hate, I find myself doing this. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this dead? And he said, the law of liberty on the inside tells me that I'm a Christian, and that I love God, and that I'm free from sin. He said, but with the law of sin and death, in that the law is spiritual and good, but we're being sold unto sin, not being able to perform it. I was alive without the law until the law came, sin revived, and I died. Knowing then that by the law, sin gets its strength, and taking occasion by that sin slew me, Paul said. And it wrought all manner of concupiscence within my flesh. So he says, and I see these things warring against the law of my mind. Who's going to deliver me? I thank God that what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness and the form of sinful flesh, has taken it to Calvary, nailed it, done away with that iniquity. And today we are children of God by faith in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Or with the heart we believe unto righteousness. Or that is to say, believe of the righteousness as to the works that he did. And with our heart we make confession unto salvation, in that with the heart we believe unto righteousness, confession made unto salvation with the lips. So then we know that we're free from sin. And we also know, and this is a hard thing for some people to get a hold of, and I always get a repercussion as a rule out of this, but nevertheless, it's the word of the Lord. And the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. So then the Bible says, he that is born of God cannot sin. He cannot sin, for he is born of God. And the seed of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And I know a lot of times we say, well, Brother Pike, it means that we may not sin, or it means if we do real good that we won't sin, or it means if we hold on that we'll hold on and make out. You know, for the Bible said, he that holds on to the end, the same shall be saved. But what we don't understand a lot of times is that nobody's going to hold on except he that is born again, he that is the predestinated of God, he to whom this was given before the world ever was. For the Bible said this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was. It was brought to light at Calvary as to the rent veil. And we are the godly seed as to the predestinated of God. And that's why we come to Christ. That's why we come. Jesus said, everyone that you've given me will come to me. And being the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world and names written down in the Lamb's book of life before the world ever was, as Paul said, greet my women workers whose names are in the Lamb's book of life. Even while they were in this world, he knew that. Now, see, knowing this, then we know that we are free from sin. And he that is born of God cannot sin. Christ in you, the hope of glory, in that he alone was made heir to the glory of God, then he is your hope of that glory, as to that wonderful change. And knowing that you are free from sin, then how can you sin if you be free from sin? If according to Daniel's prophecy, Messiah made an end of iniquity, and now your iniquities are gone, because the image of death is gone and the wretched body is now gone, that of the beast, that is sinned, sinful flesh, and you are sealed on the inside with the Holy Spirit, having conceived of the royal seed. The Bible said, you that are born of God, he keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. For the seal of God standeth sure that God knoweth them that are his, which is the Holy Spirit on the inside. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, where art thou sealed unto the day of the change of the redemption of the body. So then we know that, as Daniel said, Messiah will come, he will make an end of sin, and he did make an end of sin. And if he made an end of sin, how did he make an end of sin? By fulfilling the law, every jot and every tittle, folding it up and laying it away. And when a man is dead, as to reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto the law or to the sin, then the law hath no more power over a dead man. So we are dead to the law by the body. And now we're under the spiritual law of liberty to Christ Jesus. So if the body is now dead and buried, and we're now resurrected as a new creature with Christ, it is in the new form that is without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. We keep ourselves, and the evil one touch us not, because we keep ourselves by faith in the righteousness of the Son of God. And the Bible said they overcome the evil one by the blood of the Lamb as to his works of righteousness, and by their testimony as to that. So, finding a place here to close, just saying a few little things to you in the way of exhortation tonight. Let me just complete a thought and we'll close. So then, we know that when the angel said 490 years is determined upon thy people, Daniel, to make an end, we know, Daniel being a Jew, it was speaking of the Jews. And we also know that after 483 years, 7 years, being severed from the 490, it left 483. And then the church age is set in for all of this period of time, coming right on down to about 2,000 years. Well, in this, then we know that there was 7 years left to finish the 490 years upon the Jew, which comes in after the church ages. And coming in after the church ages, it is thus fastened back to the 493. I wish we had time to go into it. And when it's fastened back to the 483, and when it's fastened back to the 483, the 490 is thus completed upon Daniel's people. So that means that there is only 490 years from about 500 years before Calvary for the earthly perspective. The earthly perspective is only 490 years. accredited to the Jews and to the Gentile people, and yet the Gentiles themselves find themselves in the grace of God. And I better not say anything about that tonight because we don't have time to explain that, and I know we get a repercussion out of that. But nevertheless, it is a heavenly era from the time of the dividing asunder as to the 7 and the 483 being separated, that is. See, then it is a heavenly episode. And this, of course, has to do with the church in mind, how beautiful it is to be able to go into the wonderful, wonderful mysteries of the revelation of the Son of God, to understand it and the greatness, to know how wonderful it is to be a Christian. And when I think about it, I'm so illuminated and so moved in my spirit till it's hard to keep my composure. But anyway, in saying this, we know then that there is a dividing asunder. And there's a reason for the dividing asunder, and the Bible clearly states as to what it is. And we know that we are free from sin, and we cannot sin because Christ Jesus, the seed of God, remaineth in us, and we cannot sin because we are born of God. And because he has fulfilled the law, then there is no more sin. And I will stretch out this for tonight. There is no more sin. Why no more sin? Because sin is the transgression of the law. And where there is no law, there is no transgression, Paul says. And where there is no transgression, there is no sin. So if transgression of the law is sin, and there is no law, then there could be no transgression. And if there is no transgression, there could be no sin, because transgression of the law is sin. And this is the thing that we don't have time to explain tonight. But if there is no sin, that is, you cannot sin, then, beloved friend, there is no death. There is no death. The Bible said, he that keepeth my sayings shall never see death. See, so there is no death. There is no death. That's why Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep. Not only is there no death, but there is a period of time that comes in to where you don't even have to sleep. So, not having time to explain this tonight, I just want to pass on by saying this. That's why the Bible said, ye have passed from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. For no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect, for it is God. It is Jesus Christ that died for you. It is God that has justified you. And Paul said, I am persuaded to believe, ye being the elect of God by predestination, that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Heights, depths, things present, things that are to come, poverty, sickness, whatever, not even the devil himself has the power to separate you from God. For the Bible said, I give unto you the great Holy Spirit, Christ, the hope of glory within you, and his power. He is the power. He's mastered Lucifer. He's the power over all the powers of the enemy. Jesus Christ being manifested to destroy the works of the devil, and also saying, I beheld Lucifer's lightning fall from heaven. He destroyed him that hath power over death in your behalf. So we know then the rending of the veil was not only for the Son of God as to what he done, because he was in heaven, he didn't need that. But it was for you and I, that our veil might be rent in twain. That is, our body dead, but the body of the Lord Jesus Christ buried and gone forever, as that bastard child image of sorrow and heartaches and woe, the sinful image of the wretched man. And that is the metamorphosis, the butterfly. He comes out from the old cocoon of the worm, whereas God said, Jacob, thy worm, I'll help thee. Coming out from this generation of vipers, the Bible said, who's been put on their belly, all of their labor for their belly and their mouth, because it craves it of them. And so then through the dividing asunder, and here we are, the Bible said, ye are they that dwell in heaven. Rejoice forevermore, ye that dwell in heaven. For God has taken you out of the flesh, and you're not in the flesh, but you dwell in heaven. And he has translated you as to the inner man into the Spirit of Christ Jesus, that you might be sealed unto the day of the change of your body, to bring you that great, wonderful new form, that image of the second man Adam that was made a quickening spirit. Well, anyway, we'll stop right there, because a lot of things we've said tonight might be just good food for some of you, and really satisfy your appetite. The meat being for the strong. They, by reasoning, exercise their senses. Others might be babes in Christ, and it might be hard for them to get a hold of. So we have a little bit of singing before we try to preach, and we have a little bit of fellowship after we preach to give the babes a chance to get the milk of the word. And we try to say a few things along in these things where you can understand Because Jesus said, if you love me, feed my lambs. All right, let's stand together. If you will, we appreciate your kind attention tonight. We've tried not to hold you long. There are many things that the Spirit would like to say to me and to you, but we're dull of hearing. And there are thousands of things. I alone, as one person, trying to preach the gospel and trying to do what I can, being nothing more than a mere person or a man with no merits, stumbling and staggering along, trusting in the grace of God. But I have been given thousands upon thousands of wonderful, deep mysteries from God. Paul spoke of his much revelation, and great is the mystery, being a steward of the mysteries. And we have, even back around the church there where we've talked to the brethren, sometimes all night long, and for a number of years, continually talking to them about the mysteries of God. And of course, there's a thousand or so tapes where we've ministered some things to the people that try to come into that area from all around the different parts of the world and the nation. At times they'll listen at us preach, and we speak of the great, wonderful mysteries of God. Now, one would say, well, why the mysteries, Brother Pike? Well, because Jesus said, the disciples said, why do you speak to these people in parables? Where's the Bible said he spoke unto them in parables? Without a parable, speaking not unto the people. And he said, why do you speak to these people in parables, seeing that they understand not what you say? And he said, it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And so when the veil was rent, and Paul actually became the Christ in the earth, saying, it's not me living but Christ, he said, then with this, that God had given him the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the mysteries of God revealed. And God said, Paul, you're the one to go get a bride. Because these people, he could have said, must have the mysteries. And that's going to be the bride as to the differentiating point as to who will be the bride and who will just be the regular run of the church people. So then, we see this revelation in the book of St. John. It's called the revelation of Jesus Christ as to what John saw. And the strange part is that when you read it, the first thing it says, the time is at hand. Anytime the revelation comes forth, which is very rare, then the time is at hand. And it's very strange because John, the fourth chapter, being caught up through the open door or person of love that was symbolic of the church, it's very evident before this, he looked and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, there stood one like unto the Son of Man. And it's far more evident that the church ages as to what we refer to the seven churches is taken from Paul's ministry of the nine churches and seven taken out of that. And they were called by the same name. And that Paul saying that he was the Christ, it's evident that Christ was in the midst of those church ages and John saw it at the end of the way. And if that was Christ, then him being the head is not Paul but Christ, the chief cornerstone, having the revelation. And now here John is to a symbol of the church, and he turns and he sees that headship, and with that and receiving that, and the door was open in heaven, and away he went. So then there are some wonderful things that's taking place, and we are the recipients of these beautiful things in this hour. So let us apply our hearts, let us love the Lord. Let's sing a little chorus together, Kevin.
Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, all sweep over my soul.
Sing it with me now.
For I've anchored my soul in
haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, yet in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord, I need thee. Sing that with me. Every hour I need thee, and I need thee now, precious Savior, for like this now. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once again. Jesus sent to stay. For how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear his loving voice, and don't turn him away. Let's sing this little chorus, and while we're singing, the altars are open. And he was here all the time. Oh, my Lord is here. Oh, waiting patiently in line, and he was here all the time, and he touched me. Oh, he touched me, and all the joys that flood my soul, or something has happened, and now, oh, now I know that Jesus touched me and he made. Behold, sing that one more time now. For Jesus touched me. The altars are open. If you'd like to come tonight, just step out. Come on up to the altar. And let God do something for you tonight. It's a late hour. It's a late day. And I hope within the couple of nights following, we'll be here two more nights at least. And during the nights that are following, I hope to be able to bring some things to your remembrance, to your thinking, that you may stop and consider, if not from a biblical view, from the natural historical side of things, and as to the present day truth of this that the news medias are unveiling to show you that the end of the world is here, the end of time is here, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. So then tonight, while they're playing on the organ here and we sing a little chorus or two, just step out tonight. As a matter of fact, it wouldn't hurt if all of you come to the altar tonight. This being the first night of the meeting, Let's just everybody come up here and stand around. You may say, well, I love the Lord, Brother Pike. And that's wonderful if you do. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And if you're a Christian, that's fine. You say, well, I don't believe like you do. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe like I do. So we all believe alike. So tonight, you know, when we speak of the Lord and speak of these things, you are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe I don't know as much as you know, but I know my little bit, and I've got to do my little bit. And Brother Taylor here, he sings Brighten the Corner Where You're At. So then I have to do my little bit, and whatever you know, then you have to do your little bit. And here we are together saying to the wonderful, great American people, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, to hurl the gospel around the world. It's your job, it's my job. And tonight we stand indebted to God. And Paul said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to all people, as much as life within me. I'm ready to go into all the world. I'm sure that you are tonight. So tonight, let's lift our hands up together tonight. Can we, beloved friend, can you lift your hands up together tonight? And let's love Jesus. Can you? Let's make love to Jesus. While we lift our hands, the Bible said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. He's made these hands holy by Calvary. And he said, I love you. Though a mother may forsake her suckling, I will never leave you nor forsake you. For I've engraved you in the palms of my hand, that is at Calvary, that I may never forget you. And so tonight, let's lift up those hands, for it reminds the Lord, it reminds him of Calvary. It reminds the Heavenly Father that his Son hung at Calvary. Tonight, you're bone of his bone and you're flesh of his flesh. And when you lift up those hands, you can sing, I'm born again. I'm free from sin. My sins are gone by Calvary. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight, don't you? I feel the wonderful Holy Spirit. The Bible said as Peter spake, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And I feel the Holy Ghost falling right now. I feel the loving Holy Spirit. I feel faith in the hearts of God's dear children. And I feel the yoke broken, because the Bible said wherever the anointing is, it breaks the yoke. And I felt your faith go up in God tonight. And I felt the yoke break. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, pray the prayer of faith. It'll save the sick. If they've committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. While we've got our hands up, we just want to worship the Lord tonight. Do you love him? Do you love him tonight? Hallelujah. Just say, Jesus, I love you. Feel cold to thee, sweet hour of prayer. Let's say it again now. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from this and bid me my Father's throne make soul my one and gracious one. Lift the hands up while they play this. Let's worship the Lord, can we? Makes all my wants and wishes known. David said, and the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I shall not want, for he maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. He said, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. You know, the rod is the word of God, and the staff is the Holy Ghost, a comforter. And they comfort me. For thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runs over. And surely to goodness I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So once again, as we lift our hands up together, we want to sing that again. Sweet hour of prayer, As to an audience tonight. And we're going to ask God to bless you. The Bible says, he that God sendeth will speak God's word, and that whoever receives him, go into that place and heal the sick. Bless. Let the people be healed. Let them be redeemed. And that if they've committed any sins, it'll be forgiven them. And bless those people. And the Bible said, whoever you bless will be blessed, and whoever you curse will be cursed. And Jesus said, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted, and whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. Whatever ye people bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever ye loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. For ye are already, beloved, the sons of God. We're not waiting to become the sons of God, but ye are already the beloved sons of God. For now, beloved, are you the sons of God. It doth not yet appear as to the chains, as to the body, but we're not to know any man after the flesh, but after the spirit. Not even Jesus after the flesh, as to going to Calvary, being made sin, but as the mighty resurrected Savior of our God, who is the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands up? Can you praise him tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, tonight as I pray for these people, I ask you to stretch out your loving hand. Father, look down from heaven, for we of ourselves can do nothing but Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Heavenly Father, you said where two or three are gathered together in his name, that he would be in the midst of us. And dear wonderful God, thou hast spoken the words of eternal life. And we believe, we are believers, Heavenly Father. And thou hast broken the yoke, and thou hast given us this eternal life, even the spirit of your Son. Oh Lord, you said if we have not your spirit, we're none of yours. But Father, tonight, that wonderful life that dwelleth within us, God, it is here tonight in the behalf of the people. And tonight, as they lift their heads up to thee and their hands up to thee, knowing that the redemption is near, I pray that you will forgive their sins tonight. Save souls as they call upon you. She said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord should be saved. And tonight, Father, you give your only Son, that whosoever believeth in thee shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And tonight, as we pray a blessing down upon these people, I ask you to look down from heaven and touch them tonight with your spirit. Father, heal these sick bodies. Father, move away the evil spirits tonight. Father, even as you cast those spirits out of Mary Magdalene and drove them out of a legion tonight, drive away the evil spirits. Put the blood round about us. Let the mighty Holy Ghost fill us, that Satan cannot trample down the mind of humanity. Give us the love of God. Fill us with that wonderful exuberance of Christ. Father, and let us love thee with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Lord, with all of our soul. We ask you to do it tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus. And I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give him glory, all ye people. Pour his blood that's washed away. Once again now, let's lift our hands up together. Close our eyes. Can we do that? And I will praise him.